Welcome, everybody. It's time again to swim out into the tide. See if you can pick up that sales pipeline as it starts to curl up over the horizon there with the leader, the next Secretary of State, I believe, here, Matt Hines.
Are we going to get into politics?
I just heard the rumor. I don't know.
My goodness.
Well, thank you, Paul, very much. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on another episode of Sales Pipeline Radio. We are here every Thursday at 11:30 Pacific, 2:30 Eastern. Thanks for joining us live. I know a number of people are joining us live on the Sales Lead Management Radio Network. We are also available through podcasts anytime. You can catch up on all our episodes through the iTunes Store and Google Play and every past, current, and future episode of Sales Pipeline Radio is available at salespipelineradio.com. We are featuring the best and brightest minds in sales and marketing, B2B sales and marketing every week, and today is no exception. I'm very excited to feature today and welcome to Sales Pipeline Radio Daniel Fronin. He is the Vice President of Marketing at Schedulo. And Daniel, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And so right within your LinkedIn description and LinkedIn profile, the first thing it says after your name and title is it says sales-focused CMO. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to be a sales-focused CMO?
To me, it just means that I'm keeping my eye on the prize, that that cash is king or queen at the end of the day, and that everything that I do needs to somehow be contributing to that revenue. And I try to support my sales teams as much as I humanly can with everything that I do as a marketer.
And so clearly as a marketer, I mean, to have a level of revenue responsibility is becoming more and more important for B2B organizations. You talk about sort of this trifecta sometimes of successful pipeline development. Can you talk about those three components and why you think they're so important?
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, in every organization I've been in order to truly be successful at developing that pipeline and dominating the markets that you're going after, you really need to be on the same page with your sales team, your sales development team, and then your marketing team. And everyone needs to know what their goals are that are associated with that. And if that trifecta is in place, then you're going to have three successful outcomes. So if three functions are rowing towards the same goal and those goals all align, then you're going to win. And that's kind of been my approach in B2B marketing since I joined the game.
So let's talk about alignment for a second on that. I think that, you know, talking, you know, sort of saying that sales and marketing have the same objective, that seems like the easy part. I think actual operational alignment between these organizations can be elusive. What are some of the keys you found in your career so far to drive that operational alignment?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with, there's a saying in business being open kimono, meaning just kind of putting everything on the table and not being afraid to have kind of hard conversations and have a magnifying glass on yourself. So I think that when you walk into a room with your sales team and your sales leadership, you just need to say everything that I might be proposing to hit these joint goals might not be right. And I need to be able to hear some criticism that's coming from a good place that ultimately is going to drive the business forward, and be willing to pivot and change things a little bit and give a little bit. I think like any successful relationship in life, if you can hear the other side and then either make your case and move forward or compromise a little bit, you're going to be better for it.
So let's talk about the cultural implications of that. I think when we look at companies that are trying to integrate what sales and marketing are doing, whether those teams report to the same person or not, you know, you still have to take into account the historical roles that sales and marketing have taken for themselves. I think especially on the marketing side where, you know, at worst, marketing has been seen as sort of a glorified arts and crafts department. But at best, marketing's been focused on a goal like an MQL, for example, that may not necessarily align with what the sales team needs to convert. And so driving alignment around that from a cultural standpoint, so that you've got not just executives buying into it and metrics tied into it, but also have everyone down the line leaning in on it and executing on a daily basis. What have you seen working, and what are some of the things even that you've struggled with to try to drive that kind of cultural movement as well?
Yeah, I mean, and it's an interesting point. So, I mean, if you look at kind of the trends in B2B marketing, particularly in the tech space over the past few years, it has been very top of funnel fill it with leads, get MQLs, and then churn and burn and move on to the next thing. I think over the past year or two, you've seen a lot of sales development and BDR teams actually start to report into marketing. And even if not reporting in, the tech stack typically, if you start to look at some ABM tools, are very much integrated with marketing, and kind of that conduit between sales and marketing is that sales development or BDR team. So I actually think that the more aligned you are with your development function, the more you're on the same page, the more you're treating that as an extension of your demand generation, the better off you're going to be, because ultimately that's feeding the pipeline into sales and is aligned usually to an individual AE or group of them. And if you can get that right and make sure that you're sending the right pipeline their way, then it goes a long way in kind of smoothing out what could be some rough waters.
Talking on Sales Pipeline Radio today with Daniel Fronin. He's the Vice President of Marketing at Schedulo, a self-described sales-focused CMO. And certainly, if you look at the work that they have done and the work he has done, he certainly has actions to stand behind that as well. I think, you know, it's interesting to look at marketers sort of taking a seat at the revenue table now, right, and sort of, you know, embracing a level of revenue responsibility. What does that mean in terms of sort of both sort of compensation and just broadly reward and attribution? How does that get clarified? How does that get muddier when you've got marketing now taking ownership or at least some level of responsibility for a metric that they don't have complete control over?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely interesting. So I've always made it very clear to leadership or boards of directors when I come into a business that marketing does not create pipeline. We never on a chart that shows what group is going to bring what exact pipeline dollar to the table. You're not going to see marketing, but what I will show you is a percentage attribution number. I'd like to keep a percentage attribution number at a healthy level, but I also like to see a fair amount of prospecting, things coming in from alliances channels as well. And in terms of actual compensation, I believe very strongly that a marketing organization that does have a variable part to their compensation, that they are tied to that pipeline number and ultimately the revenue achievement as well, to have some skin in the game and make sure that they are doing the right things that are going to drive the success on the revenue side.
Is that different than just changing what their bonus is? I mean, is there, I think in some organizations that are making steps towards this, I've seen them simply said, listen, marketing's no longer going to get measured on MQLs, we're going to get measured on SQLs, and at least that's a step in the right direction. So is this about changing what's measured to get their bonus, or is there a commission play here? I mean, this isn't just what's going on today, but like, what are you seeing as options, as viable options heading into next year?
Yeah, for me, I don't think a commission model necessarily works for a marketer. I think typically a lot of the variable compensation is lower on that marketing side. So to me, it might not be as exciting, and they might not try to work towards it. But if you do in actual closed business, but if you actually do tie like an actual quarterly bonus to your variable compensation and it's tied to a pipeline number or at least an SQL number, moving it further down the funnel, I think you have something there.
So I have a premise. I think you're right. And I have a premise on sort of how sort of compensation just ties into just getting sort of attribution and credit. I think a lot of the attribution concerns between sales and marketing comes down to credit. It comes down to people wanting to make sure that they get credit for the work that they did. You know, if marketing is no longer measured just based on lead volume and leads coming into sales, if they're focused more on getting sales converted, how do you measure that credit? Is that something that you guys face at all? And what are some ways that you're doing or that you recommend companies sort of handle the issue of attribution and credit across what is clearly a far more complex buying journey?
Yeah, I mean, to me, and I try to make it extremely clear to leaders that I report into and boards of directors at companies is that attribution is really just a tool for me to measure success in a marketing program and see if I should take the dollars that have been entrusted into me to grow the business and put them into the right spots. When it comes to credit for pipeline, I want the BDR or SDR team and the AEs to take full credit. They actually picked up the phone, did a social selling play, met someone in person, and did the hard work to convert that into pipeline, and they should have that glory the entire way.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting perspective, and I agree that, you know, from a marketing perspective, ensuring that sales feels like, you know, they are, that their work is rewarded, that marketing recognizes how hard that work is really important. I want to go back, you know, before we have to hit a commercial break here, to the idea of sales versus sales enablement. And you think of this as this trifecta is sales development, and marketing, as opposed to sales and marketing. Talk a little bit about how you are separating out sales and sales development. Is that because sales development is kind of that middle ground between sales and marketing and it's owned in different places, or kind of why is it three versus two?
Yeah, I mean, to me, a sales development team is really, they're kind of picking up that MQL and making it sales qualified before a selling organization should really even be looking at it, trying to develop it further. And to me, that's a natural extension of your demand generation function. And again, if it's aligned properly, then I think it feeds the right things to the sales organization. And for me, sales then being a separate function is I strongly believe, and I think a lot of sales leaders would agree with me, that salespeople need to be hungry. They need to always be prospecting, whether that's into their existing accounts for cross-sell, upsell opportunity, or big whale accounts and strategic accounts. So to me, if you look at each area as kind of a separate contributor to that pipeline, and I think that's where that trifecta comes in.
So who should own that middle piece of sales development? Is that a marketing function or is that a sales function?
It's been a marketing function for me for the past couple of years. And at the end of the day, as long as it's aligned between sales leadership and marketing leadership, we're so commingled in terms of what a tech stack is. And if you are following an ABM approach, it's a target account with a BDR and an AE assigned to it. So to me, it's tomato, tomato. It's probably who's the most passionate about the function, who's got the time to nurture it and pay the most attention to it.
Well, I agree with that. And I really like that answer because it's not, well, you know, this is a lead qualification issue. This should be marketing. It's not a, well, this is a sales function. It's in sales. I think you really, there's all kinds of precedents and best practices out there, but you have to pay attention to your organization, your culture, what makes sense for you to get that right. Boy, we are covering a lot of ground here with Daniel Frohn, and he's the Vice President of Marketing at Schedulo. We are going to be back with more discussion on a little bit. We're going to talk a little more about org chart between sales and marketing, where that should report, how to best manage that. We're going to get into some of the biggest questions facing B2B marketers heading into 2018. We'll take a quick break, pay some bills. This is Sales Pipeline Radio.
You know, in a world where the speed of innovation and change in B2B marketing has never been greater, the only thing bigger is the need for clarity, for a blueprint, for a guide to what's really working and how to make it apply specifically to increase sales pipeline growth, velocity, and conversion. That's what you'll find in the Modern Marketer's Field Guide, something you should have in your back pocket right now. If you don't, you can download it for free at heinzmarketing.com. That's H-E-I-N-Z marketing.com. It encompasses the entire sales and marketing pipeline, but in quick bursts with lots of specific actionable ideas and strategies and tactics you can put to work right away, like today. The loaded table of contents helps you narrow in and tackle a problem. Maybe something you're looking at right now on your desk, right in front of you as you're listening to this. It's also there as a resource that you can come back when you need something new to inspire you, to open your eyes, to give you some task or idea to do next. It's all that and more. And it's waiting for you free, the Modern Marketer's Field Guide at heinzmarketing.com. That's H-E-I-N-Z marketing.com. All right. I marvel not only at the book, but I marvel at how you're diplomatically moving between these two areas of marketing and sales that are so often in conflict, leading me to believe you really are a leading contender to be a Secretary of State.
I'm not. I am not at liberty to comment on any rumors that are out there, whether I started them or you started them or whether we just made them up to begin with. We'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Plausible deniability is what I'm thinking.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming back here to Sales Pipeline Radio. We are covering a lot of ground today. We're going to get back to our guest, Dan Frohn, here in a second. Make sure you do join us every week. We are recording every week and are available both on demand at salespipelineradio.com as well as through our podcast. Next week, we're going to feature Guy Wise Mantle. I'm going to get that name right. He's a VP of marketing at Marchex. We're going to be talking about the offline blind spot for marketers in an omnichannel world. We've got such great measurement and reporting on a lot of our online efforts, but offline sometimes is a little more difficult. We're going to be talking with Guy about that. Coming up later in December, Paul, it's gone so fast. I feel like we barely know each other, and we are at our 100th episode.
Oh, my goodness.
At the end of December, we've got our 100th episode of Sales Pipeline Radio. We're going to have cake. We're going to have streamers. We're going to have none of those things. But we are going to have Joe Hyland. He is the CMO of On24. And we're going to be talking about doing a postmortem for 2017, how to think about and plan and ensure you are hitting the ground running after the streamers and champagne on January 2nd into the new year. But I want to get back to our guest today, Dan Fronin. He's the vice president of marketing at Schedulo. And I want to talk a little more about org chart. You know, you've got, Dan, sort of, you know, it's chaos now from an org chart standpoint. Sometimes you've got marketing reporting into a CRO or a head of sales because it's a quote-unquote sales-oriented culture. We talked a little bit about sales development sometimes reporting into marketing. Is there a best practice? Is that another thing that is really just tied to organization? I think, you know, some companies can worry that, you know, putting those together, depending on what the background is of the person at the top, means that you're a marketing-centric or sales-centric organization, and that means the other team, quote-unquote, lost. Kind of what's your thoughts on overall sort of sales and marketing org chart and how that works best?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So I've worked in multiple scenarios. I mean, I've reported into a COO before. My last company, Aptis, we reported into a CRO, and then I reported into an SVP of marketing, and then here directly to the CEO, and in the past a couple times directly to the CEO. And I think it has to be organization specific, and I think it has to be based on the people. If you do have a revenue leader who has a marketing background and a sales background, and that's what feels natural for the business, then I think that makes sense. I think if you're a startup and the board wants to have exposure to all of the functions, then typically you'll see it flat. So I think it's partially the business and the people that are there. I think it's partially the maturity of the business. And I don't think there's a really right or a wrong answer. I really do think it's company and people specific.
So we have now spent most of this conversation talking about the sales pipeline and sort of the way sales and marketing work together, which is important. But, you know, for heads of marketing like yourself and for CMOs running organizations, it seems like we collectively are spending 90%+ of our time talking about acquisition, talking about the funnel. What about retention? What about lifetime value? How do we balance sort of the customer management side of this? And how do you think about that in your role?
Yes, I mean, I've been at a few different companies, and it really depends on who the leader is of the customer success function in the organization. And I think, luckily for me at Schedulo, we have an extremely strong leader in that function. So it's easy for me to sit down and say, okay, how can I support you in terms of better communicating product releases, making sure that when we have events like Dreamforce, that we're actually having events that are catered around them, that we're starting to create community and make ourselves as sticky as possible and as big of a part of the business as possible. So to me, marketing can and should always have a role in just the retention, but then also the cross-sell, upsell. So, you know, making sure that we're tactful in how we're communicating to customers and letting them know if there's product innovation or even just keeping our brand on their radar so that they constantly think about us and make sure that they're utilizing it to the fullest. And if able to expand, then that they're going to do that as well.
I would agree with you. I think one of the other elements that sometimes gets forgotten or at least sort of put on the back burner that's sort of a traditional marketing function is brand. I think it's interesting to see a lot of organizations focus on next Tuesday's email and focus on growth hacking their landing pages. And, you know, obviously we still have to make the number this month and this quarter. Sometimes brand's put on the back burner and brand is sort of forgotten as a way of sort of building sustainable, repeatable, predictable pipelines. How do you balance the need, or is there a need, I guess, to build brand while you're filling the funnel?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there absolutely is. So brand, and I even wrote myself a note before this show today, is just because you care about revenue does not mean that you don't care about brand. Brand, to me, is kind of that top-level strategic thing that you're constantly looking at. You should be revisiting your brand momentum at least once a month, whether it's with a PR company or creative agency that you're either using internally or externally. And to me, brand is your go-to-market message. It's everything that you say. It's the look and feel. And it should be reflective of your company's personality and the last kind of thing that you want to leave in someone's mind, whether they're a prospect at the top of the funnel, someone that you're actively engaged with, or a customer. And it's definitely got to be paid attention to constantly.
That's right. All right. We'll wrap it up a little bit of our time here with Daniel Fronin from Schedule of Vice President of Marketing. As you know, so we are recording this right before the beginning of December. The Starbucks cups are already red. So I'm sure you guys are also in planning mode for 2018. What are some of the biggest questions you're thinking about and facing for your organization and for your marketing team as we look at the new year?
I think more than anything, it's just how to be as thoughtful as possible in our communication, how not to do what I think is so natural for people, which is just to kind of churn and burn, but slow down a little bit, make sure we have the right content, the right channels, and that we're just doing the best possible job that we could do to communicate our value out to our potential audiences so that we can win them over and help them transition their businesses and be more successful.
Love it. All right. Well, last question I want to throw to you that we ask everybody. Who are some of the people you have learned from? Who are some of the people that either you've worked with or that you've read? Who are some people and resources that you would recommend others check out or that have made a significant impact in your growth as a marketing leader?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I come back to kind of motivational things. So to me, Zig Ziglar, obviously, Tony Robbins, I love just the kind of motivation behind that. And then there's all these young up and coming guys like Morgan Ingram. I just can't say enough about that, that kid or guy at this point, but, you know, he just started doing the Barrows thing and he's just amazing. You know, to me, the person who gave me my chance here in the Silicon Valley, Maria Pergolino, love watching what she does and her thought leadership.
Absolutely. Great, great people. It's amazing, Paul, how many times we hear people like Zig Ziglar come up. It's just like sales and marketing, no matter who it is, Zig's the man. Well, anyway, we are out of time, as happens way too fast, but I feel like we covered a lot of good ground. I want to thank our guest, Daniel Fronin, the Vice President of Marketing at Schedulo. If you want to check them out, certainly would encourage you to do that. They are at schedulo.com, S-K-E-D-U-L-O.com. If you want to share this episode with other people on your team, share some of Daniel's thoughts on the future of marketing and how to organize your team for success, you can check us out on the podcast. Download this episode on demand at salespipelineradio.com, and we will have a summary of the highlights from this episode on our blog at HeinzMarketing.com in just a couple of days. That's it for today. For our great producer, Paul, this is Matt Hines. Thank you for listening to Sales Pipeline Radio.
You've been listening to Sales Pipeline Radio, brought to you by the good folks at Matt Hines Marketing, right here in the Funnel Radio channel for at-work listeners like you.